Welcome back and happy Thursday. A little chillier out there today, but still a nice sunny day. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. You can go to the website, 1700thechamp.com. You can listen to the show live as long as I switch this little switch, which I did. And you also can download podcast for the show. I want to thank a couple of sponsors. I'm going to start with Northwest Bank. They have two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines. They just won the Top Workplace Honor for the sixth year in a row. So not only are they a great place to work for the employees, but they're also a great bank, and it shows. Member FDIC. And if you're going to do some sports betting in Iowa, please check out the BetMGM app. It's easy to download. Put some skin in the game. Make a deposit. Start betting. Check out the parlays and special bets on your first bet up to $100. You can always bet and win with BetMGM. All right. So, exciting show today. This is some of the funnest time if you're a basketball fan when you have men's and women's NCAA basketball. Conference tournaments going on right now. A lot of great basketball. We're going to talk a lot about that today. Kevin Lehman coming in at 4:20 to kind of give us a preview of all the games that have been going on and leading into the Selection Sunday. David Eicholtz coming in today instead of tomorrow. That way we can get his preview of Iowa's first game and just kind of check out what they have going on. Maybe get some update on Joe Wieskamp and everything else. So David's coming in at 5, and you have me for most of the other time, and everybody's busy, and it's that time. But I have got player championship golf to talk about in the 440 hour, a couple of really cool stories to talk about later in the show as well. So thanks for coming in today, and we'll get started here. I think the biggest news of the day today so far has been the ACC officially announcing no Duke Florida State game today because of a positive COVID test with Duke. It was a player that didn't play last night but was on the bench. He's a walk-on at Duke. I think that pretty much it took him out of the ACC tournament. I think that pretty much takes them out of the NCAA tournament. I think for Duke, they would have had to go all the way to the championship game in order to get in. We talked about this yesterday, that as soon as all this gets done, you have 7 days before you have a 7-day period where you have to test negative for 7 days in a row before they're going to allow you to come into the bubble. That's some high risk stuff. And everything. Give me just a second here. Kevin's checking to see if it was 4 or 4:20. I'm going to tell him 4:20. It's a high risk, high reward for the NCAA. The high risk is, when you have the bubble, is you have everybody going to be there. It was just like they did with the NBA. They did it with baseball down in Texas. But you have to have so many negative tests in a row, or they're not going to let you into the bubble. Once in the bubble, they're going to run tests. I'm assuming they may run tests twice a day, once in the morning and once at night. It's an awful lot when you think about all the pressure that's already on all these student athletes, coaches, and then you add on top of that having to have tests all the time, and it's just not something that they're accustomed to, and I think that makes it very difficult. I know that we've had a couple of, and I'm trying to find the article, you had some teams that were talking about some of the things that they're doing for testing and just how difficult it is for these kids, because it's going to be a very controlled environment. It's going to have very strict protocols. It has contact tracing technology. The contact tracing technology should help a little bit too. If you have one positive test and contact tracing isn't, it's very difficult to understand the whole contact tracing because, you know, Duke had one positive test. Everybody was around him. I mean, they were on the bench together. So it's just a lot for these kids, because what you're looking at, and this is during the year too, you have dozens and dozens of early morning tests, test after games, test on Sundays. And this happened to be Matt Schultz talking about Iowa State. And through it all coaches and players never wavered in helping, you know, getting everything done. But just think about that, folks, is, I mean, you're getting tested every morning. You're getting tested at night. You're getting tested after games. It's a lot. And that goes back to what we've been talking about on this show, that, you know, this is the time of year that when we're watching these games, we have to remember what these coaches and players have gone through. So, you know, if they don't win a game, or if they, you know, somebody makes a mistake, we have to feel for these kids. I mean, it's not easy just playing these games and the amount of pressure that's on you, but the amount of pressure times 1,000 with all the COVID stuff going on. And even though we're getting close, and you keep hearing about that, you're going to hear about some places that are starting. I know the Principal Charity Classic said today that they're going to have 5,000 fans each day at the golf tournament. I mean, that's a great thing. It's a great thing for the city. It's a great thing for the tournament. The tournament didn't happen last year, so I mean, there's a positive. You're getting to a point where most people are getting, you know, you have everybody over the age of 65 should be hoping getting their second vaccination and be done. And it's moving down. It's still very difficult, as my wife Jennifer will tell you, about getting in and trying to get times to go get vaccinations. So it's just, I just want to keep saying that we owe these coaches and we owe these student athletes more than yelling and screaming at them if they make a bad play or you know, they lose a game. You just have to keep that in the back of your mind, everything they've been going through. Iowa high school basketball going on. And for Iowa high school basketball today, I think today's the most fun day that you can go to watch, because you get two semifinal games in each division. So 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, you're getting two games today in order to get to, I guess they'd probably be, what would that be? Not semifinal, because that'll be tomorrow, and championships on Saturday. So quarterfinals, I'm sorry. And I'll get you scores with that later in the program. I have them pulled up. I think they're about into, let me check here. So 1A is done, 2A is done, and 3A, they have one that's going on right now. So once those go a little bit further, we'll talk about that later in the hour, since we have some free time today. Some other things that have been happening today. Like I said, the Players' Championship is going on, and I explained a little bit yesterday about the Players' Championship. Next to the Masters, which is always so much, it's usually right around Easter, going to be in that time frame again, even though we just got done watching the Masters about, well, I'd like to say it was 3 months ago, but it could be longer than that. I have no vision of time right now. But the Players' Championship with the 17th, with the water hole, and just some difficult things on the water hole today. I've seen at least two 10s and one 11 on there so far today, so not an easy shot. I did see today that Spencer Lee is going to use his extra year of eligibility and come back. That would give him the shot if he can get a championship this year, which is going to start here in the next couple of days. Then he can try to come back next year and be a four-time champion. It doesn't happen very often. This was a big one today too, and I took a picture of the article. They had an article today talking about Eric Bieniemy, and Eric Bieniemy he's the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's a co-offensive coordinator with Andy Reid. We are a Chiefs affiliate. We love the Kansas City Chiefs. They're really nice. Eric Bieniemy is a great guy. So this is what Eric Bieniemy, and I'm going to read a little bit of this today. Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy lived in a hotel from July 23rd through the Super Bowl to isolate from his wife, Mia, and their two sons. Bien-Aimé's older son, Eric III, has cerebral palsy and respiratory issues, making the 26-year-old high risk for contracting COVID-19. To keep him safe, Bien-Aimé made this private sacrifice for the entirety of the 2020 season. He stayed in a hotel six nights out of the week and only returned home on Fridays, but wearing double masks, keeping a distance, and sleeping in the basement. It's been that way for the past 6 months, Bien-Aimé said. Before the Super Bowl, it's been a challenge. The lonely nights were stark contrast from the 2020, how 2020 began with Eric III's wheelchair parked on a platform inside Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, whispering play-by-play in his ears. The Chiefs fought their way to a Super Bowl championship. And this is a man who you've had some people say that, you know, this is why the NFL needs to change their head coaching rules too, that nobody should be able to talk to any coach until the Super Bowl's over with, because it's not fair for people like Eric Bien-Aimé. He is trying to game plan. He has everything that's going on in his home life because of COVID, all the things that he's doing and sacrificing for that. And people say, well, maybe he's not a good interview. That's why he's not getting jobs. Or maybe it's this, or maybe it's that. I'm like, folks, come on. You're talking about a man with courage and a man with integrity, and we're not giving him a chance. And that's just an easy out sometimes for the NFL teams, because they have a specific person that they already want and they don't want to have people go through the interview process. And you know, we're trying to make that stop, so everybody is starting to get a fair chance. We talked a little bit earlier this week because it was International Women's Day, and all the women that are getting involved in the National Football League. And that's very important. It's also very important that we give opportunity to assistant coaches who are in a successful program that are still in the playoffs, and they're not getting interviews, because when you look at what these coaches do and how they game plan week to week to week, when you're talking about the biggest games of the year, and that's what the playoffs are, it's win or be done. You know, there's not a lot of free time for these guys. They're already working 13, 14 hours a day, and you're not giving everybody the same opportunity and same chance. And that's one of the things that we're trying to overcome, is it can't be slanted in any direction. And that's something that's happening. So if you ever want to know the type of man that Eric Bien-Aimé is, there's a good thing of him looking out for his family, his son, and still competing at the highest level. And we need to make sure that he gets, you know, he's rewarded for that. So that is one that is pretty big for me. Now, the Kansas City Chiefs have some other issues, and we'll probably talk about that later today too. But they have now parted ways with three offensive linemen. Their starting center, they're not going to renew. And they cut Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher earlier today. Saved them $18 million with the last two. I haven't seen a dollar amount yet for their Austin Reeder, who was their center. So you're talking about the most important piece of football in Kansas City is Patrick Mahomes, and you have just taken away three of his starting offensive linemen. Now, granted, both of the offensive linemen that they cut had injury problems all year. They ran probably like an 8-9 rotation through their line. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with the team and where they're going to go. I think, you know, for them, draft pick wise, they pick second to last in the first round. There's still offensive linemen that are out there. Another interesting thing I saw today, and I think this is the way of the future that it's heading, is Rocket Mortgage becoming a sponsor for Michigan State basketball. So it's going to be, this is how they're going to be introduced: Michigan State's Spartan basketball team presented by Rocket Mortgage. So the team is represented by Rocket Mortgage. We talked about that all these colleges are going to have to start getting creative because of the shortfall. We talked yesterday that the shortfall in the National Football League was almost $18 million in the salary cap. the financial shortfall for a lot of institutions in the NCAA is probably more than that, and you have to look for ways. They're also Rocket Mortgage is also going to have deals with other sports at Michigan State. I think that's going to be the wave of the future, and I don't know what you feel about that, you know, but we're gonna find out. You know, it harpens me back to Iowa State. We have Jack Trice Field. You know, that has meaning. It's not something that's just paying to get their name up on there. So we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be interesting and make college football and name, image, and likeness is going to come back into play, because if the college can make that money, so can the players. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Kevin Lehman, we're going to talk NCAA basketball. Who's in, who's out, next.
You're listening to Steen on Sports. Join the conversation on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Happy Thursday, everybody. A little chillier out there today, but still not a bad day. Nice and sunny. And this is one of those days, you know, except for next Thursday and Friday when it's the real deal. But when you get to watch this much basketball, it's so much fun. And when you want to talk NCAA basketball, the person you want to talk to is Kevin Lehman. He's at K Lehman Sports. And he's been kind enough to come on and talk about this. And he's doing manual labor. He told me he's changing a tire, which is not a good thing. Kev, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. I got my radio on, though. I'm catching all these games on the red radio. It's been a great day of hoops. And, you know, people said, why should you play these tournaments? Iowa, Michigan, Illinois, already with those top seeds. We're seeing it while you play, because we've had some great games today. Michigan State, Maryland, Ohio State. Those are fantastic games to watch.
They are. And you know, the probably the craziest one so far of the day is Duke, Florida State not being able to play because of a positive COVID test of one of the Duke players. You know, it happened to you and I. It happened to Duke. As soon as these games get over, all these teams have 7 days to have 7 negative tests in a row to get into the bubble. All these teams have to be sitting on pins and needles, because what a couple of the articles said today was there was nobody that was more strict than Duke was. Staying at a hotel most of the time, not even staying on campus, and it still happens. So even though we think that COVID is you know, starting to come to an end because of all the amazing things that we're doing with vaccines and trying to social distance, it still can sneak up on some of these teams.
Yeah, that's a great point. And Drake has benefited twice now. You and I had to forfeit that game. It gave Drake some fresher legs to play a Loyola on Sunday. And Michigan, the Missouri State win also. And now Duke eliminates itself, one of those that were vying for one of those last bids, the same thing as Drake. So twice now it's helped the Bulldogs.
It's got to help, too, for the Bulldogs to Xavier losing, Michigan State losing. You know, that's just two more teams they don't have to worry about.
And Syracuse going down to Virginia by 3 points. If Syracuse would have won that game, doesn't Syracuse always sneak in the tournament?
Oh, yeah.
At the 11th hour, they're ready to do it again, but they lost to Virginia today. They would have been another team that Drake would have kept their eye on.
You know, I listened to that game today on the radio while I was doing some work traveling around in town, and Jim Boeheim's son, had a great game today.
Oh, he had a great game yesterday, too. He went crazy yesterday. I think he hit 6 threes in that game yesterday where they beat NC State. But yeah, that dude can shoot it now.
Yeah, he can. I think he had 27 yesterday. He was at 31 when I stepped out of the car with a little bit of time left. So crazy stuff there. I want to get your take on some of these other games, but I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, you know, retiring Luka Garza's jersey and Devin Marble having a reaction to it. I wanted to get your take, number one, on Roy Marble, the player. I think some people, and some people in my audience with some of the texts I've gotten, I think they forget how good Roy Marble was at Iowa and what he meant to Iowa and able to bring other people in to play with him.
Yeah, I was coaching at Northern Iowa at the time. You were probably up there as a student.
Yep.
And what a great lineup they had, you know, with B.J. Armstrong and Roy Marmalink. Ed Horton was on that team. They were loaded. And I remember the first time we came back to play them, and we couldn't figure out how to have Nick Nurse guard because we didn't want to put him on B.J. Armstrong because we knew that in summer league, the primetime summer league, B.J. laid 52 on Nurse. So we thought that was a bad idea. Actually, we ended up matching Nurse on Roy Marble in that game, and he did a pretty good job on it. But, yeah, Roy could really score, you know, physical upper body strength. He was like Devin, but stronger in the upper body. And in that system that Dr. Tom had where they would press and run, he was a great fit. You know, unfortunately, we lost him way too young. And I can see Devin would be upset because here's his dad, the all-time leading scorer, and they don't retire his number. They gave him a framed jersey, you know, at that ceremony they had right before Roy passed away. So, you know, that's Devin as a son being upset with his dad not being honored in the same way that Luca Garza was.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And a lot of people, you know, they have voiced opinions on both sides. And I get the personal stuff, but when you're talking about at least having your jersey, you know, they retired the jersey and had it nice. It's not going to hang from the rafters. It's a little bit different. What Luca Garza has done what I think he's done in his career from the first time I saw him to now, I don't know if I've ever seen a college player get to from point A to the end and have as much success as he's had. I never saw all that coming. And I think that, you know, being the all-time leading scorer from where he started and just the type of kid he deserves everything he got. And I felt bad for him because I think it kind of took away a little bit from him having someone in the, you know, in the Iowa family, you know, be a little upset. But hopefully Luca didn't take anything from that, because if anybody deserved to have one hanging from up there, it's him.
Well, I'm with you. You know, and Devin was also in France's first recruiting class.
Very good player.
He signed with Licklider, and he had to go back and re-recruit him to get him to come. And I think that's when Devin really reunited with his dad, because Devin was living with mom in Michigan, and Roy was around this area. But you hate to compare careers, but Iowa has to set some standard on what gets retired and what doesn't. You know, Luca's National Player of the Year, runner-up last year, front-runner this year, All-Big Ten Player of the Year. Those are accolades that Roy didn't have. Although Roy's teams, you know, I don't think Roy was even ever first team All-Big Ten, if I remember reading that.
Yeah, I don't think he was either.
Obviously, yeah, but, you know, four-year career, he did some great things. And they retired B.J. Armstrong's number. So some of this, I'm sure, if you're Devin's mind, this is not making sense. Why are we retiring B.J. Armstrong and Luca Garza and not my dad? And I'm trying to think who else has been retired throughout that. I know it's a short list.
And
Ronnie Lester.
Ronnie Lester is. Megan Gustafson is. You know, and that was well deserved as well. I had a couple of funny. Well, before I get to the funny part, we overnight the committee said that they've been studying 8 to 10 teams for that number one seed. You get 4, 8, so 1 through 8 will get you through the 2 seeds. Do you think that having something said like that, that if Iowa can make a run in the Big Ten and maybe win the Big Ten, do you think there's any way that they can move up to that one seed?
I would think the only way that's going to happen is if Michigan had a huge letdown and Maryland spanked them bad in that game tomorrow.
Gotcha.
Or Illinois would have to get boat raced by Indiana or Rutgers. They'd have to look really bad in this situation. Because if you get those four teams, Michigan, Iowa, Illinois, in those semis, along with maybe Ohio State or Purdue, whoever comes out of that, I just don't see being able to move Michigan and Illinois off that one seed line, even if Iowa wins the tournament. There's a slim chance, but I think those two other teams would have to get boat raced early in an early exit.
Gotcha. One of the interesting things, and once again, we're talking to Kevin Lehman. He is at K Lehman Sports. Patrick Ewing was talking today. Big win for Georgetown, beating Villanova. He said he's been walking around Madison Square Garden, and he goes, I think I get ID'd with my badge more than anybody. And he goes, I don't think these young security guards that are here understand how much I've owned Madison Square Garden in my life. maybe some of the young guys aren't remembering just how good Patrick Ewing was in Madison Square Garden.
You would think somewhere that his banner or picture would be hanging. Like you could point and say, hey, dude, that's me right there on the wall.
That is funny.
That is a good story. Because the dude's 7 foot. I mean, come on.
Yeah, he's not a small guy, and he's even a bigger guy now than what he was before. I wanted to get you.
Well, how many years did he play for the Knicks? I mean, he's got to be all over that place.
Oh, I know it. One of the interesting things that happened this week, and you know, this has a lot to do with college sports and just how important a coach is, but how everything works. You know, you have someone like Les Miles who was let go at LSU because of some issues with not being able to be left alone by, you know, with co-eds. And then he comes to Kansas and he gets hired, and everybody says they did their due diligence. Kev, these, you know, with all that's going on with COVID and all this, you know, I've tried to make, you know, making sure that student athletes are safe all the time and everything like that. When you have stuff like this that's happening and it doesn't get discussed when coaches move from place to place, the NCAA has a big problem if they can't, with all honesty, say that these kids are safe where they're at.
Well, the AD lost his job over the situation, too, which well he should. I mean, I think him and Les Miles' relationship went back 30 years, but don't you make a call to the LSU AD, because they tried to fire him at LSU on the same matter, what, 2014 or 15, and it got washed away. So there obviously was something out there beforehand, even if Long is his buddy, he would know this. And you're making a great point, Steve, because look at the mess they had with gymnastics at Michigan State.
Yes.
There's a huge problem there, and you're right. You've got to make sure that your student athletes are protected, because they're, and you know, as a college basketball coach, when you walk in that living room with mom and dad, what they want to know is my son and daughter going to be safe on your campus? Are they going to be taken care of? They got somebody that they can go to if they have needs or some issues, and will you be the parent, so to say, of my child for the next 4 years? And that's a huge growing period, as you know, from age 18 to 22.
Oh.
So they're basically entrusting their child in your hands.
Yeah, 24/7. I mean, that's what the coaches expect from their student-athlete players, is 24/7 commitment. And as a parent, that's what I want. I want my coach and my athletic director to give me that same 24/7 acknowledgement that's what they're doing. And I think that, you know, it's somebody's going to have to take a close look at that. Once again, we're talking to Kevin Lehman. He's at K Lehman Sports. Some of the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame finalists were named. Three of the players, and I've kind of been asking people, these are ones that I grew up, you know, watching. Paul Pierce, Chris Bosh, and Chris Webber. Three really good basketball players. If you had to pick one to get into the Hall of Fame, which of those three would you pick, Kevin?
Chris Bosh, Chris Webber, and who was the third?
Paul Pierce.
Oh, Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce.
Yeah.
Wow, that is a great question. A great question. I used to be an old Celtics guy, so I kind of favor Pierce on that deal. You know, Chris Webber's really, I think, he's still got some issues at Michigan. There's some tainted there. I saw him play one time, though, in the Final Four in Atlanta, and Sacramento Kings came in and played Atlanta, so my sons and I went to the game. He kind of drifted through the first three quarters, but I'll tell you what, Steen, that fourth quarter when the game was on the line, Chris Webber was head and shoulders better than anybody else on that court. I was amazed. He did whatever he wanted once he turned on the Jets, and it was one of the most awe-inspiring performances that I'd ever seen. I didn't know he was that good. I mean, he was just so much better than anyone else.
Yeah, he was a lot of fun to watch, I'm in that too, but I just remember Paul Pierce at Kansas, so much fun to watch, and I agree with you, with some really good Celtic teams, he was just a very unselfish player, and I really appreciated everything that he did. Iowa Rutgers, that's a game tonight. I haven't seen anything on Joe Wieskamp if he's going to play tonight or not. I've tried to been looking all day and not really anything out there, which isn't unusual with college athletes, but. I don't think that's a game that Iowa has to worry about tonight, but boy, then these.
Well, it's It's Indiana Rutgers, but Iowa's got another bye.
Oh, that's right.
They
don't play till tomorrow. Yeah. You're right.
Well, that's a great question because it's Penn State, Wisconsin. So do you play Wisconsin back to back? You want that game or do you want Penn State? So it's an interesting question. Who would you rather face if you're a Hawkeye fan?
That's why I had Iowa Rutgers down. My wife and I watched Caitlin Clark play last night, and on an off night, Kevin. 27-9-7. I don't think any. I mean, I watched her all 4 years she was at Dowling, and I thought she was an amazing player. I just didn't know she could turn it up a couple of more notches.
She's been fun to watch. They should rename that Rookie of the Week award in the Big Ten after her. She got it every week except the week she had a bye. Yeah. An unbelievable performance.
And it's so much fun to watch, and you know she plays C. Vivian. I can't wait. What a coaching matchup tonight too with C. Vivian and Lisa Bluter, and that'll be fun. So as we sit today, how's your thinking of Drake? You still think they're going to be that Final Four in, or have to play in the play-in?
I tell you what, I was 50-50 until this deal with what's happening is all going in their favor. Syracuse getting beat by Virginia, Duke exiting because of COVID. I feel much better about Drake's chances now. I think you got to keep an eye on the Mountain West. Boise State plays Steve Alford's Nevada team. You want to cheer for Steve Alford tonight. And then Utah State playing T.J. Otzelberger's squad at UNLV. And the other big game is Nico Medved, Colorado State, plays Fresno. Those are some teams that can be bid stealers. You mentioned Xavier already out. Seton Hall's playing St. John's, the Big East. That's an elimination game, possibly for one of those teams.
It'll be good. Kev, thanks for jumping on today. Yep. I really wanted to talk college basketball with you, and I appreciate it. Get that tire fixed, and talk to you next week.
Live from the capital city, it's Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back and happy Thursday, everybody. Hopefully everybody's having a great day. A little chillier out there today, but a beautiful day. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports. Check us out at 1700 The Champ. You can go to Facebook at 1700 The Champ. You can download the podcast or listen live if you go to the website, 1700thechamp.com. If you are looking to start sports betting in Iowa, go to BetMGM, download the app, put some skin in the game, put a deposit in there, check out some of their parlay specials, some of their first bet specials that are out there. Usually you can wager up to $100, and if you lose, you will not lose $100. It's exciting, it's easy, and it's fun. So if you're going to do some sports betting, use BetMGM. Also want to thank Northwest Bank, two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines. Great bank. They're a member of FDIC. Want to welcome them in sponsorship of the show. And just got done talking to Kevin Lehman. It's fun to talk to him. I mean, I could talk to Kevin forever and just talk old sports stuff, let alone the new stuff that's there and everything that he does. It's a big day. So one of my favorite golf tournaments to watch is the Players Championship. They're playing it today. Didn't get to play last year. This was right around COVID time. This is, if you think back a year ago, the night before was Rudy Gobert touching the microphone in the desk and saying that he had tested positive for COVID, but didn't know what it meant. And as things started, the Ivy League canceled, and then this canceled and that canceled. And then for pretty much 10, 11, 12 months, pretty much everything canceled. And we're starting to see light at the end of the tunnel. We still need to do our due diligence. We still need to wear masks. We still need to social distance. But we're seeing vaccinations happen at a pretty good rate. Availability is getting easier, and more slots are opening up. So hopefully everybody will stay vigilant in what they're doing. But anyway, so big name on top of the leaderboard right now is Sergio Garcia. In the last couple of tournaments, he's had a little bit of a resurgence, driving the ball straight. Players Championship, you have to hit. You need to be long off the tee, but you need to be accurate as well. Some key names, Matthew Fitzpatrick, he's just making a name for himself in being on the leaderboard of every golf tournament that's out there. Some players that kind of, you know, this has a little bit of that, you know, over the pond type of golf course where you have to be very specific where you hit. So you kind of see Shane Lowry up there, Lee Westwood's up there. So it's fun to watch. Rory Sabatini's another. You got some really high-end Gary Woodland, Keegan Bradley, Jordan Spieth and Bryson DeChambeau are both 2-under. Colin Morikawa is 2-under as well as Steve Stricker. Phil Mickelson had a great round today. He was 1-under. Justin Thomas is 1-under. You had some people that had some crazy days today, too. You have a group of people, some big names. Kevin Na withdrew. He was not having a good round. You have Rory McIlroy is +7. Pat Perez is +6. Tony Finau +6. Who we got? Ricky Fowler +5. Ian Poulter +5. Zach Johnson +4. Cameron Champ +4. Xander Schauffele +4. Matt Kuchar +4. So some people that have been in contention at this championship before that had struggles the first day. The water hole has had at least 1-11 and 2-10s that I know of for sure. So it's not an easy day out there, and can't wait to watch a little bit more of that tomorrow. I listened to it on Sirius XM today and got play-by-play while I was working today. Big news of the day so far has been the ACC officially announcing no Duke-Florida State game today because of a positive test in the Duke program. That officially rules Duke out of the ACC tournament. It's probably going to have the same effect being below 500 of not playing in the NCAA tournament. So you have a chance, and Michigan State's got to be a little bit concerned after losing today that Michigan State, Kentucky, and Duke and Kentucky, I do not think either one will make the NCAA tournament. That's crazy, crazy talk. Xavier got beat today too, so that all of these are helping Drake, trying to get Drake to get to that point where they have a chance to be at the NCAA tournament. If you have a couple more upsets going through, could even get them out of the first four game where you have a little two game to get into the championship. Maybe they get in on their own as one of the last four in. So you have a chance there for Drake, and we just keep hoping for them. Brian Flores talked a little bit today. I like the Miami Dolphins. Number one reason, one of my best friends, buddy, Scott Brower, it's his favorite team. Matt Hawk's the punter there. I love the Hawk family, and Matthew's a great kid. Brian Flores was excited about working with Tua, but in the same breath wanted Ryan Fitzpatrick back. And I understand why you want him back, because he gives you that veteran that veteran presence in there. But he also, there were times last year when Tua didn't have a good game, or during the middle of the game, you would bring Fitzpatrick in. I don't know if that's best for Tua's progression trying to get there. You either think he's the real deal, or you need to do something right away. And you know, for the next 5-year period, Ryan Fitzpatrick's not your answer. Is he a great backup? Yeah. Is he a great backup for the Miami Dolphins? Even though I know Scott loves him and actually looks exactly like him. But it's to a point where that might be more of a hindrance than it is a help to Tua. The other thing, I don't want Brian Flores working with Tua. Brian Flores is a defensive coach, a past defensive coordinator. I want the offensive guys to be working with Tua and to try maybe to get a couple more weapons for him to throw with. That's kind of my take on Tua. I think people are underestimating how good he really is, he didn't get a lot of playing time last year, and when he was in, he had games that he was really well. And the problem was is that they said, well, he wasn't throwing the ball down the field enough. He was throwing 4 to 10 yards. I don't know if you guys understand, but that wasn't all his doing. That's the plays that were being run. So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. I talked a little bit about Rocket Mortgage stepping up for the Michigan State basketball team. I think you're going to see a lot of that. I could, you know, it's getting to a point where even for, you know, you have Hilton Coliseum, you have Carver Hawkeye Arena, you have the Knapp Center. It may not be far-fetched to say it's the Knapp Center with the Drake Bulldogs sponsored by Principal or something like that, because as much as we talked about the NFL had $16 million taken off their salary cap, which is why you're seeing a lot of players get let go today. And when these all go in effect, you're going to see a lot of players being cut. And we'll talk about that a little bit in the 520 hour too, about, you know, how we perceive, you know, football teams, you know, the players wanting to get as much as they can get while they're there. And well, we don't want players to be greedy. Well, you also have to realize that the ownership can cut these guys and not have to pay them except for partial on if they let them go. It's a two-way street that both of these sides have to work together. And I don't think you can take sides on what you're doing, but you knew it was going to happen because of just the amount of money that was lost last year without having fans. I mean, you think about that it's a 16 game season. So you have 8 home games and you had at most at any point in time, and I don't even know if it's that many, you had 1,000 people there maybe. And, you know, that's the way. I mean, it's the same thing with all the college programs not having. I mean, it's unheard of that happens. And, you know, you lose concession money, you lose ticket money, you lose parking money. I mean, it's amazing that the schools did as well, especially the schools in this state, did as well as they did with all that went on to not have as big as a big of budget shortfall as what could have happened. So it's pretty amazing. We have at the 5 o'clock hour, David Eicholt's going to come in here and we're going to talk. I'm going to ask him about having the 8 or 10 teams for the number one seed, what he thinks that Iowa needs to do, but we're going to spend a little bit of time too talking about Caitlin Clark. She plays again tonight at 7:30. It's on FS2. Iowa playing Rutgers. That'll be a great game. It was a lot of fun to watch last night, and I can't wait to get David's take on how he thought watching her. And I have she was a second team All-American, and I want to talk to David about some of the players they had as first team All-Americans and if she was kind of slighted there too and not being named one of the top. Here's the really funny thing. So she wasn't named one of the top 15 players in the country, but she made second team all American, which is 10 players. So somebody has to help me with my math. So you've been listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day. Want to once again thank Northwest Bank and BetMGM. Northwest Bank is a member FDIC. 2 locations in Ankeny, 1 in West Des Moines. David Eicholt and I talking Hawkeyes after the top of the hour break.